Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Jace Lejeune is our co-host today. We're going to have an interesting show today. We're going to have some interviews that I did last week with Coach Cecil Thomas from Scotlandville. I wasn't able to get Lester Ricard, Jace, before the game because he was already... They were late getting in the game.
Yeah.
With all this traffic, crazy traffic that we have in the state, and he wasn't able to do it, so Cecil was able to step in and do it. The O-line coach, big-time O-line coach for Scotlandville. We also have an interview with Marlon Gunn, a big-time senior running back. And another senior running back who's got a lot of talent is Chance Williams. I had a chance to interview them right before the game. Coaches were able to, you don't usually get the interview before the game, but right before the game, you hear a lot of noise in the background. And I had them on, and we'll have that today. Me and Jace will talk about some games I've seen and some games he's seen and some guys that broke out this past week when high school football in Louisiana, some phenomenal stats. We'll do that. And we'll talk a lot about a little bit about maybe some college football since we got it Saturday, LSU, maybe Western Michigan. UL had a big win last night against a decent Ohio U, which is in the same conference as Western Michigan, by the way.
Yeah, and MAC, some action. Yeah.
So LSU's got pressure on them. UL wipes the floor of Ohio U, right?
Yeah.
So that means LSU's got to beat Western Michigan the same way, because if Western Michigan played Ohio U,
it's going to be Central Michigan. Yep.
Yeah, it would be a very close game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're in the same conference. They're pretty even. Maybe Central Michigan's a little bit better than Ohio.
Yeah, I know Ohio, they came off the week before, lost to an FCS team, so it was a pretty bad start. I know they just replacing Frank Solich, who retired.
Right.
So they're trying to find their identity after, a guy that's done a really good job with that program for so long.
But, I mean, they're in the same conference with Kent State and all these other teams. They're all basically,
Toledo, basically
about the same in talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives to show you, if LSU can't run the ball on Central Michigan, it's going to be a long season. Let's go ahead and
face it. Because that UL game, it was about 7 yards, 6-7 yards a pop every time they ran the football against Ohio.
Now, these are Ohio kids. These are tough kids. And it was at home with UL. And it just proves that what I was saying a month ago, this offensive line for UL is the money for the program.
Oh, yeah.
And Levi Lewis is a great game manager, great kid, all that good stuff. But their bread and butter is pound the ball straight at you and tight ends and the big O-line they have.
And, Lee, they found their three running backs. We talked about Chris Smith. Montrell Johnson had 4 touchdowns last night.
Yeah.
And then Bailey, the other running back, he had some really good moves last night. So
they found
their three running backs.
They found the three for conference play coming up. So the Sun Belt's in trouble. I think UL, this could be the first year they go undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And you might go, oh, no, Coastal Carolina and Appalachian State. Well, look, I don't think those two programs are used to seeing this kind of power from UL. Now, last year, UL showed that they can win the close games, but – I think you might see some easy decision games, meaning some blowout conference games this year for UL instead of some close games.
Yeah, and Coach Napier coming back, it was just like him really saying it was unfinished business, because last year they didn't get a chance. They had a chance for a rematch against Coastal Carolina in the Sun Belt Championship game, and they couldn't play it because of COVID.
Yeah.
So it just feels like this team has unfinished business, and this could be a special year for UL.
And Coach Napier knew that with the new NCAA rule, he had a lot of guys get that extra year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Talon Humphrey convinced him to come back.
Right.
And Osiris Torrance came back. These guys could have went pro.
Yeah.
And he got most of his team back that used that extra year of eligibility. And the guys like Kyron Lacy, that are coming back. And,
yep.
and LeBlanc, receiver.
Yep.
I mean, there's just a lot of – Chris Smith, you mentioned.
Yep.
Levi Lewis, his fifth year, I think, total.
Yeah.
Right? I get confused with these extra years they're giving them. But I really believe that if UL just stays within who they are, they might not lose another game.
Yeah. Yeah, they should. I think they can run the table. And this is a very tough Sun Belt Conference. Like you said, Coastal Carolina is a good team, and Appalachian State's a good team. They got some tough teams in this conference. And I think UL can run the table the rest of the season.
And they could finish in the top, maybe top 20.
15,
15, 20. Yep, if you do that, then that means you got to beat Coastal Carolina and you got to beat Appalachian State. And if that happens,
they can go to New Year's Six.
Then you got to hang on to Napier.
Yeah. Well, I think the fans in Lafayette right now know that he's not going to stay there forever, but they're going to try, as long as he's there, try to get the most of it.
Yeah. I think the plan is Napier's plan is to run away with it this year in that conference, and then he can pick a job, and then UL can go get another great coach. The way the position UL's in right now, Jace, is they can get whoever they want for that conference. They can get the best coach in that conference now. And, you know, Coastal Carolina's not quite as set up, I don't think.
They're just really getting started with their program.
And Appalachian State's always going to hire their kind of guys from that part of the country. It's not going to be a job everybody wants, Appalachian State. When you're in Louisiana, recruiting and the facilities that UL has. So, it's you know, if you're a fan listening to the show and you're a UL fan, if he does leave after the season, Coach Napier, the program's in great hands, man. It's they're going to be okay. And they're going to hire another great coach if it happens. Now, I'm not.
Yeah, it also depends on what jobs are available for him to really go out, because there might be some jobs available that he's not – willing to go out just yet. It depends on what the right job is available.
I think if he left, Jace, it would be when the season's, you know, definitely over. And two, to see how many jobs are open, like you said. I mean, you don't want to jump into, like, well, there's going to be 10 more jobs open and you want three that are available. So you want to see all
You want to see which jobs fit you the most. And
maybe he does get more money or something and stays, or maybe he just decides to stay. And
yeah, I'm sure they're willing to pay whatever the whatever they can to keep him as long as he can.
Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our first interview with Coach Cecil Thomas, the guru of O-line coaches, I believe, one of them in Louisiana. There's a few, but he's at Scotlandville High School, was the head coach at Hammond High School for a while, was at Walker.
Yeah, at Walker High School,
was at Sulphur for a little bit.
Yep.
Played at Utah, and we'll be right back with an interview with Coach Cecil Thomas of Scotlandville, the offensive line coach. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. Let's go ahead and go to our interview with Coach Cecil Thomas. I think you enjoy this. He's a tough guy, man. We're talking about a guy 6'5", Jace. He's a big man. You know, and you could tell he played offensive line in college. And he's the guy that the prototype. He was a great player at Utah for Coach Willingham, actually. And he's from Hammond, went to Hammond High School. But here's an interview I hope you enjoy with Coach Cecil Thomas, offensive line coach, Scotlandville High School.
I'm here with Coach Cecil Thomas, Scotlandville, who's, a Utah alumnus. I'm a big fan of Coach Willingham, and Hammond native.
Yes, sir.
Former head coach of Hammond High School, and Sulphur was at Walker, and now at Scotlandville. Coach, you got a big-time O-lineman, and I wanted to give you a chance to tell everybody about Malcolm Richard.
Regard
his size and his ability, and I know you're very high on him.
Yeah, you know, Malcolm, he's had a great offseason. Didn't get a lot of playing time last year, but he really come on the spring, had a great offseason with our drills and everything we're doing. He's moving his feet a lot better. He hadn't tapped into his ceiling yet, but the good thing about it, the four of my five key guys, you know, I've had them for, this be our second year with them, and Malcolm's the only senior in this group, but outside of Malcolm, he's been playing. He's gotten better every week from the fall scrimmage to the Jamboree. And so I need him, you know, need him to come on and play. But he's a big, strong kid, 6'4", 300 pounds plus, naturally strong in the weight room, works at it. he's going to be a guy to look reckon with and a guy to look, he can make somebody's roster and make it a line coach in the next level very happy.
Coach Thomas, you also got a junior. I saw him at Port Allen, Jamal Franklin.
Franklin, yes.
6'7", 350.
Yep, Jamal's done a great job. He's leaned up. When he got to us, he's about 425. He's down to 350. We're working on getting him down a little bit more. Been real dominant in practice. He was dominant in the Jamboree. In 19 plays, he had 7 decleaters. He's driving kids off the film. Michael Orr type blocks.
Changing his body.
Yes, sir.
You got another one who's a junior. He's 6'4", 285.
Hamza Rahman,
a good looking kid.
Big Shed. Yeah, Big Shed's the whole package. High academic kid, wants to be a doctor when he's all said and done. Both of them guys can play some big time college football.
And then Malcolm, 6'4", what, 310,
315? 310, 320.
Who do you like feet wise right now? The best feet is it? Is
Best footwork is probably Jamal. He moves his feet very well for a big man. He's got size 18 foot.
Wow.
But he moves his feet really well. You know, Hamza moves his feet really well too. So,
Coach, not a lot of practices in with all the storm and everything. I think y'all said you only got maybe a couple in the last 11 days.
One practice that was yesterday.
Wow. I'm trying to get you interviewed because by the time Lester and them, they got delayed, I might not be able to get with him because of the opening.
Right.
To get everything ready here. But any thoughts about the game today with EA?
Well, we just got to take care of ourselves, do what we do, and come out and impose our will tonight. That's what we need to do as a football team.
And the running back, I've got to talk about the big-time running back here who I think
– Marlon Gunn and Chance Williams.
I think Marlon is as good as anybody I've seen.
Oh, yeah, he's got some big Power 5 offers. Chance is getting some Power 5 offers as well. They're definitely a two-headed monster back there. We're going to lean on them guys a lot to carry us through.
Hey. So what do you think of Southeastern going back to hometown of Hammond, man? I mean, what do you think of Cole Kelly and what they're doing?
Tell you what, Southeastern got a great program rolling. They were impressive last week. A win on the road. It should have been a home game dealing with the hurricane. Coach Stevens does a great job with the offense. And we got – they've been recruiting our kids. One of our kids, Bryce Cage, is playing for him as a true freshman. So I'm real fired up about Southeastern right now.
One final thing. What do you think of your Utah college chances in the Pac-12 this year?
I like our youth to win it all, you know.
Come on.
Yeah, I think they're the team to win the South. And the way Washington played, I mean, I don't see anybody coming out of the North.
I don't think UCLA is a top 10 team. What do you think, Coach? I know they're better, but they're not. I don't think they're.
No, Coach Whittingham's going to D them up when they come to Salt Lake. Plus, it's late October and it's going to be cold. So
I tell you what, you got to get to this game time.
Yep.
It's good seeing you, Coach.
Thanks, Lee.
All right, man.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Coach Cecil Thomas. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. Me and Jace will keep talking before we have our interview with the two running backs from Scotlandville, Marlon Gunn and Chance Williams. Two phenomenal. And I will say the word phenomenal. I've seen these kids play this year. I saw them play last year and the year before. These are three-year starter running backs, and you're going to enjoy that interview later in the show. But, Jace, continuing on, I promise I'll talk a little bit of recruiting. And I want to speaking of Scotlandville, they've got a ton of players again. Marlon Thomas, number 11, their receiver, is going to go 1AA or D1. He's 6 foot 190, great hands. They've got a lot of guys that are going to be seniors next year that are D1. Jeremiah Bell, the transfer from Baker, is a great safety. I think he's one of the best in the state, by the way. He hits. He's intimidating. He comes up and makes it happen. I want to mention this. Nick Montgomery, their kicker, wasn't a prospect until I went to the game. And I think I've never seen a 55-yard extra point, Jace. Have you ever seen a 55-yard extra point?
I've got to say, I must be a one unhappy coaching staff after seeing that, because if you have a 55-yard extra point, then a lot of things you did wrong on penalties, false starts, and that's going to drive coaches mad. So it must be very impressive for him to make that extra point. But at the same time, if you're a coach, you get in that situation in the first place, oh, boy, I can't imagine.
Well, Nick Montgomery, remember the name. I didn't know he had a 55-yard leg, but now I do. I got his name marked down. I think a lot of people do because he made it by about 2 or 3 yards.
Well, I guess you can't go for two when you're 55 yards. I guess your best option is to kick it, yeah. I guess, if you have a guy like that that can kick.
I was at the game. I saw that. Malcolm Richard is an offensive lineman that could end up D1. Jace, he's 6'4", about 315, really good feet. In good shape. You know, he's a big lineman that looks lean. And he's got great hands, great feet. And I think Malcolm can end up being a Power 5 signee from Scotlandville. They got a big nose guard that plays a little bit. I want to give him some plug here. Jarvis Miller doesn't start. He's new. His name is Jarvis Miller, 6'4", 390.
Ooh.
So he comes in as a nose guard. He does a lot, gets his reps in, but he plays hard. You know, when a guy's that big and he plays hard, you've got a lot of respect from me.
It's not easy for those big guys to play 100% on every single play.
No, it's you know, he's a tough kid. And, you know, they've got Damian Knighton, who's a Baker transfer at Scotlandville. Damian's a slot receiver. He plays a little DB, too. And he's a playmaker, tough kid. And they got a lot of players that are going to be seniors next year. Their quarterback, Tizette, is 6'3", 210, 205. He's a phenomenal, got phenomenal skills. But he's going to be a class of 223 guy. Now, we don't have another hour to talk about the other 10 juniors they have, but they have a lot of juniors.
Oh, yeah. Scotlandville always has a lot of talent, and it shows.
We're going to take a break when we come back. Me and Jace will talk a little bit more, and then the next segment we're going to have an interview with two big-time recruits, Marlon Gunn and Chance Williams from Scotlandville High School. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family-owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Our guest co-host is Jace Lejeune today, and next week I'll have an interview, Jace, with Mark Bonice, the head football coach of Brother Martin. I had a chance to interview him last night at the game I went to, and against East Ascension, Brother Martin's first game. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Martin, you could tell it was their first game. They were a little rusty, a little out of sync, but you could tell they're going to be really good again. Their defense is scrappy. To give you an idea, the halftime score was 2-0. So it was a safety that East Ascension, they got East Ascension in a safety call, Brother Martin did. But Brother Martin is very talented. Mama Hat's back at quarterback. He was on the cover of our magazine.
Yep.
Corey Lambert is the real deal at DB, at free safety. He's growing a lot, 6'2", probably about 205.
Yeah.
Really downhill guy that comes up, he'll stick you. His younger brother is
going to
be a good player. He's a running back. His younger brother looks good at running back. And they got a big O-line. They've got a senior offensive lineman that I'm going to put out there that is incredible, Michael Broad. And he's 6'3", 330. He is strong, and he's not a fat kid. Like, he's a big guy.
Put together, right.
And Michael Broad, B-R-A-U-D, is a guy to keep a watch on. He can move. I mean, this guy can pull, Jace, and he could pull in front of the backs. And I don't know, a lot of kids want to get in front of that guy.
No.
And he's a late bloomer. Like, he's really kind of made it happen his last year. Didn't get to play a lot till last year. Grew a lot in height.
Yeah. They had a whole senior line, I believe, last year. And this year, usually we have to replace a whole – line, it seems like it could be a bit of a downfall, but no, not with this group.
And they got a kid named Anton Brown, who's a linebacker. You talk about bring it. I mean, he's a senior. He's not, but about 185, 6 foot, maybe 190. But man, he hits you like a ton of bricks. I mean, this guy, like, when he comes off the field, he's shouting like, man, it's not good enough. I like that. And so, I mean, he's like a coach on the field, and they've always got those kind of kids, Jace, on defense.
Yeah.
Like Catholic High at Baton Rouge, you know?
Right, just tough, instinctive, and All those guys have high football IQs.
They've got a few other players on their team that'll sign this year. Jamal Holmes, a corner who's a senior. Jayron Manning is a good-looking kid, number five. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a linebacker, I think, in college or a safety. But they've got a lot of kids that are going to be signees. Another big O lineman they have is Jason Montgomery.
Yep.
He's 6'3", 320, 325, big kid that can move. But, you know, they're loaded on, again, for another run. I still think Brother Martin is going to be in the thick of it to go to the Dome this year.
Yeah, I mean, that Catholic League is as tough as it gets. Whoever comes out of the Catholic League up top, you know, has a legitimate chance of winning a state championship. And, I mean, when you have to play John Curtis, St. Augustine, Rommel, Jesuit, Holy Cross, Shaw, I mean, it's ridiculous. Every single week you have to bring your A game, and even the non-district games like East Ascension. East Ascension is a really good task for Brother Martin week one coming out the gate.
I've seen a lot of the North Louisiana teams play so far. Ouachita out of Monroe is actually very talented.
They are.
They're always talented. They just somehow have bad luck getting to the semifinals.
They just can't get over the hump sometimes of being those Nevilles and, you know, the Rustins of the world. But they're right there. They just need some good luck coming their way.
I got a chance to see Ruston High School. Not as good as they were last year, but they have a chance to become a good team. They're just very young.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Osborne, the quarterback's a really good athlete, but he's still learning. Their OD line is still trying to make it happen.
Yeah, trying
to
gel.
And they got young backs, so they're really young at a lot of the skill spots. And it's, you know, if they just stick together, I think Ruston will be, because they got a lot of size and they got a lot of talent. It's just they didn't put it together. It's, you can tell they're a little learning curve.
And it's
this
good
group.
Because I believe they started the season playing Neville.
Right.
And they came up just this close.
I saw that
Neville
game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Neville's very talented. I think they could win a state title this year.
I agree with you.
I watched them. I think Batterford's coming along. He's a great running quarterback, which brings problems to maybe an Edna Carr down the road.
Yeah, because they got a good running back, too. A really good one.
And Anthony Allen's phenomenal.
Yeah, a really good one.
Anthony Allen's as good as any running back in Louisiana.
That's saying a lot with this year, because there are a lot of good running backs this year.
West Monroe, had a chance to see them play. They're a team that's going to get better as the season goes on as well.
Tonight's going to be a good measuring stick for them, because they got Catholic High tonight.
That could go either way.
Yeah.
Now, I know Zachary beat West Monroe in a scrimmage, but, you know, scrimmage is a scrimmage early
different
in the year.
Yeah. And then Catholic's got to play at West Monroe, which we all know it's West Monroe is probably the toughest place to play when it comes to high school football.
I think West Monroe's biggest thing is they're working in two young quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very talented quarterbacks, but they're new.
Yeah.
And it just takes some time.
One of them's a really good baseball player.
Yeah, that's the coach's son from ULM.
ULM, yep, right.
And I had a chance to see Episcopal, the game you did last week against East Feliciana.
Yeah, that was as good as a week one game that I've ever really seen between both teams. Both teams looked really sharp.
Tre'Dez Green is a phenomenal player.
He was phenomenal. They threw four jump balls at him, and all four times he came down with it. And that was his first game playing football, Lee, which was scary because he was playing basketball.
He looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good
six,
for his
four,
first game.
6'5".
Oh, yeah.
Probably 210, 215. And then on the other side, DeArmon is really coming along.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is really coming along. And he's just so quick when he, like, just those lateral movements that he makes. He's just so quick when he touches the football. And he makes, when it comes to one-on-one, I mean, it's hard to really
He's
touch
actually
him.
Gotten faster.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a 4.59 guy last year and was hurt a lot and just had nagging injuries. And this year, he looks like he's a 4.4 guy.
Yeah, he has like an extra gear when he touches the football.
DeArmon's a senior.
Yep.
And he's at Episcopal. He's a receiver, for people that don't know.
Right.
And I think he's D1, Jay. So I think he's one of them guys that was like a 1AA guy or a D2, and he is just skyrocketed,
yeah,
I think.
He has. And Episcopal is going to lean on him a lot this year, not only as a receiver, but they put him at wing back, just trying to – even at fullback. So whatever way they can get him the football, they're going to try to give it to number two's hands.
His older brother was a pretty good player that went to Samford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
right.
And tell everybody his full name. This is Thomas DeArmond.
Yeah, this
right?
is Thomas DeArmond. Yep.
And his older brother played at Sanford a few years ago in Birmingham. He was a pretty good player, too, for Episcopal. Speaking of big wins, last night had an Arkansas team lose to, I think, Byrd,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Byrd, yep.
And I want to mention something, that this team from Arkansas had, how do you pronounce the name? It starts with an M.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to pull it in front of me. It was only a field goal game. It was only 24-21. And I think this is the second time Byrd had to go and play an out-of-state team this year so far. I know they played Huntington, and they won pretty big. They're 3-0 right now, which is a good debut for Coach Bellew for Byrd. So they just – let's see. So they beat Huntington 43-14, Tioga 18-3. Maumelle right. High School.
Here's a stat I want to throw out to the listeners about Maumelle in Arkansas. You'd find this hilarious too, Jace.
Okay.
They got 2 6'7", 315-pound offensive tackles.
Oh, dang.
And their guard is 6'2", 270. That's a pretty big O-line.
Yeah. I would have to say that's a pretty big offense.
You don't hear 2 6'7" guys starting on an O-line in high school.
And really, you don't really see a lot of that in the college level a lot of times.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you do have two at LSU. You got Dakless is about 6'7".
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when Cameron Wire is out there, he's 6'7".
Right. And you had Rosenthal. But
Rosenthal.
Yeah.
You had three 6'7" guys at one time. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a pro prospect.
No.
And, you know, there's a lot of good teams. We can't talk about everybody. We want to mention, too, before we get to interview at our Scotlandville running backs high school, Jacob Lafitte from Lowell Prep had a phenomenal game.
He did everything. I think he was even the water boy that night.
Man, I mean, he broke all these Lowell Prep records. The school's been around for a long time.
Yeah, they scored 61 points, and he scored 43 of them on his own, and he had like 372
all-purpose yards,
and his receiver Trey Taylor had like another 300 all-purpose yards himself too. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Now, Coach said he was improved, and I really thought he was a good player last year, and he's a true 4-5 guy. He's like the Thomas DeArmond of Shreveport, Jace.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if people are listening to this in Shreveport, then they're clones, I think, Thomas DeArmond and
yeah,
Jacob.
he was an underrated player going into the season. I think he had 40 touchdowns heading into the season. So he was flying really under the radar, and now it's, you know, me and the main guy offensively. He's really thrived on that.
It is Lafitte, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to make sure I'm not pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, or actually our intern, Andon, he wrote a little article on him, so that's on our website right now at lafootballmagazine.com, talking to Jake about that great performance and talking about that game. And it wasn't like they played nobody. They played the Logan Sport.
So yeah,
they
did Logan that against, Sport's really good.
Yeah, so they did that against a very good Logan Sport team. So he goes in-depth with Jake about that great game and then looking to build on that momentum moving forward.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin McGee's had too many guys do that against his defense.
No.
Lafitte kid's a senior, by the way.
Yep, right.
He's a current senior, and he's a quarterback for them.
Yeah, and another big-time performance that a lot of people were talking about was Pearl Rivers running back. And we know that Pearl Rivers has been known for their running backs over the years. A bunch of them, like Corey Warren.
And Gilliam.
Yep, right. Right, and then, so Brian Jenkins last week, just give a shout-out for him. He had 29 carries, 306 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
Man.
So he had himself a great game. And then one more performance I want to throw out there. Liberty got their first win in varsity and with Coach Drake Trosclair at Assumption Catholic. And their star running back, Caleb Jackson, had 9 carries. Guess how many of them were for touchdowns on 9 carries?
5.
Yep, you got it. So five.
A complete guess.
Five for 9, like 260 yards on 9 carries.
He runs, what, about a 10-700 meters?
Mm-hmm. He actually, my dad was at the district track meet because both Caleb Jackson and Le'Veon Moss were running against each other. And he told me that Caleb Jackson outran Le'Veon by a wide margin. It wasn't even close, which is pretty scary, I would say.
What's impressive about Caleb is that when Ascension Episcopal played last year, they had a late game ad, and it was Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And Liberty wasn't an LHSA team. I mean, it wasn't going to count as LHSA. But right. I watched him play, and I watched the Ascension Episcopal game last year, and I was so impressed with Caleb. And they got some other players, too.
Oh, they do.
But Caleb's about 205 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not a guy running 4.4 that's 160.
He's
about 5'11". I mean, he's got a chance to be an SEC back power five. He's only a junior right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got another year left.
Yep.
As a sophomore, I was just like, man, these guys, I mean, they've got some really good players for a young program. And just so people know this statewide, Liberty is the old Lehigh.
Yes, right.
So if you don't know who Liberty is, that's the old Lehigh
Correct.
School in Baton Rouge.
Yep.
And they are very talented. And that's not a team I'd want to play, Jace, in the playoffs.
No.
This is their first year to actually play
varsity. Yep.
I would not want to play them this year.
No.
Because they've got about 13, 14 juniors that are as good as anybody's juniors.
Oh, yeah. They got some pretty good linebackers, too, out there.
Big O-line. They got some size.
Talented quarterback. I mean, they probably don't have the numbers yet, but they, as far as their starters, they're as good as it gets.
Most schools that start out at that level
mm-hmm.
don't have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
But they're 5 years ahead of the game, I think.
Oh, yeah. Once they get the numbers, watch out.
Oh, they're going to be tough. Yep. We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to have our interviews with Chance Williams and also Marlon Gunn, two running backs from Scotlandville, both seniors, both D1 players. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brukeen. Our co-host today is Jace Lejeune. And we want to go ahead and go to our interview that I did last week before the game. You're going to hear a lot of people yelling because it's on the field, and it's not far from the team, and it's right before kickoff. And I was able to interview Chance Williams and also Marlon Gunn. They're both seniors. They're very different runners.
Mm-hmm.
Chance is about 5'9", about 190.
Okay.
He runs 4.4. Marlon Gunn is 6'2", 210, runs 4.4.
Sitting here with Marlon Gunn and Chance Williams. I call you two guys the underrated duo in town. I'm a fan. Louisiana Football Magazine, we're about to kick the game off against the EA. Great team.
Yes, sir.
I saw both of you run last year. I watched the Captain Shreve game and a couple other games. That's when Marlon, I thought, sort of put salt on the wounds on some of them guys. And you were, y'all like, I mean, you like the fast guy with speed and power.
A little right hook.
And Marlon's like the heavyweight guy. You like the light heavyweight when you have the heavyweight ability.
Right.
Chance, what do you think, man, of you and your buddy here, Marlon, and what y'all could do this year as a group?
I really think that we can go to a state championship because we've been playing with each other since eighth grade. Like, that's my brother. Like, we're very experienced with each other. We know how each other play. We know how to pick each other up. And, you know, last time, you know, when our last year, we actually won a championship, Scotland Middle. So this is our last year of high school, so we feel like we're going to win another championship again.
Chance, tell me who you liking right now college-wise and what's going on with your recruit.
I'm talking to Texas A&M, LSU. I go to a game. I go to LSU game. I've been talking to Kevin Falk. I've been talking to UCLA and USC. And it's multiple other schools I've been talking
Still
to.
Still kind of wait to see who else joins in on that.
Marlon,
same thing, man. What are you thinking on the recruiting? If it was up to you, you know, do you have a school in mind that you've always grew up liking?
Up liking Alabama. Alabama was always my school. But they always sent, you know what I'm saying, running backs to the league. I mean, when I was little, I played everything. But now, you know, I'm a running back, so that's just what I, you know what I'm saying.
And, man, it's running back you in Baton Rouge with Moss and Struma, and you got Beck and all the guys at
UMass. It's a lot of talent. It's a lot of talent, man. It's a lot of talent. So to have two running backs, you know, two good running backs, you know what I'm saying, with great running backs at the same school is really, you know, amazing. because when we're on the field at the same time, we shock defense. They don't know who finna get the ball. They don't know when they're guessing.
What do y'all think of Kelvin Joseph, man, being a high draft pick?
That's my brother.
Yeah, that make us, you know what I'm saying, feel good because just a few years ago, he was in our shoes. His senior year, you know what I'm saying?
Well, look, I know Coach is calling y'all to get over there, man. Y'all got to go hit some people and get hit or whatever. But good luck to you. And real quick, what is your ACT right now, man?
Currently at 15.
You got a few attempts
right,
left.
Right.
Yeah, what about 16? Yeah. Look, get those tests in, man. Keep bringing it up. I'm a big fan. And we're going to play this next week on the podcast. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Good luck to y'all.
All right.
Yeah.
And I think Marlon's on the level with Brandon Bolden, but he's taller.
Okay.
And then Chance Williams is more like these backs you've seen come out of Catholic over the years.
Right.
Like Shanklin.
Mm-hmm.
The kid Thomas that came out a few years ago.
Yeah, Quill Thomas, right.
But he's thicker.
Okay.
And he's very similar to the backs you see currently at Catholic High.
Yeah.
In Baton Rouge. But
speaking of that, Lee, just because there's a lot of 1-2 punches running back in Baton Rouge, especially.
U High
has a really good one. Catholic has their boatload of running backs. But do you think that Marlon Gunn and Chance Williams are the top 1-2 punch in Baton Rouge?
I wouldn't say they're the best, but I would say they're both D1. And I would say that Marlon's an SEC back, and I think Chance is. But Chance is 5'9", so he's going to get – you know, looked over. But if a guy like Chance Williams goes to ULL, he's going to be an NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be like Regus. So he's my Regus.
Okay.
You know, of Archbishop Shaw that, you know, everybody, all the big guys, oh, no, he's not tall enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's not this and that.
Right.
Well, Trey Regus goes to UL and he shows everybody, hey, I got power and I got deceptive speed. Like Darrell Williams went to LSU.
Yep.
Remember, a lot of big schools didn't want him at John Aaron.
Right.
But Chance Williams is that deceptive, powerful guy, 5'9", and Marlon Gunn has everything.
Yeah, I'm surprised his name isn't being mentioned with, you know, with the Etienne's of the world and then the Mosses and
Citizens
of the world. He's up there with
them. He's just as good as they are,
mm-hmm.
and he is just – and he's they're both humble guys.
Yeah.
And they're high-energy guys. They bring it.
Mm-hmm.
And I look for both of these kids to go Power 5 in the end.
Yeah.
And I can bet you right now Billy Napier is licking his chops going, man, I can go in there and steal these two running backs.
Mm-hmm.
I can get me two more SEC running backs.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why UL is so good right now.
Yeah. We talk about UL's offensive line and how good they are. All five guys starring for them right now are all from Louisiana.
Yeah. And you know, the Torrance kid that – you remember 5 years ago.
He was on the cover, yep.
I was big on him, and nobody ranked him.
Mm-hmm.
He was at St. Helena Central, and I'm like, how can no one know this guy's here? He's 6'5", 330, running a 4.8. How do you not recruit him at LSU?
Yeah.
He's qualified. And now he's one of the best offensive linemen in college football, not just the Sun Belt.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's going to go in the first 2-3 rounds of the draft. I mean, it wasn't like, how do you not know who he is?
Yeah, Torrance and then Max Mitchell was Al Neville was
Rob
really
Sell
good.
Being from Neville got him to sign because Rob Sell was out of Neville.
Yeah, right.
And he was the O-line coach, and Max was a great player. You know, in high school, he was 6'6", about 280.
Yeah.
Can run.
Yeah, right.
I mean, wasn't like it was a – like he was a project, you know.
No.
So again, they brought those players in, and you get a Taylen Humphrey from a junior college who's 6'5", 360, and you're different. You know, you're a different team now in the Sun Belt. Let's take a break. We'll come back and end the show. Jason, any final thoughts? We'll talk about LSU's game. I'll give a prediction for what it's worth. I was off a little bit, but actually I was close on my points against our opponent this past week with LSU. I thought they would score 35, and we were always close.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is going to be very similar. I'll be back. We'll be back with more of the Sports Scouting Report. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, you've got to go to Medine's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983, family owned since the 1960s. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, the host, and also Jace Lejeune's our co-host today. And I almost forgot, and Jace reminded me, we've got an interview with Dornell Lee from East Ascension that I want to use today. And Dornell Lee's done a great job. He's a graduate of McNeese State. He went to East Ascension, so it's his alma mater. And he's done some great things at EA, and they've had some great football players at East Ascension. I mean, in my day, you know, obviously it was Glenn Dorsey, Sean Nelson that played tight end, played in NFL, the Bills.
Right.
Now they've had several guys sign college football. Harris, the offensive tackle at South Florida, 6'7", 330 right now. Cameron Wired, LSU.
Right. Adrian Ealy.
Yep. Oklahoma. He's in the NFL.
Yep.
God, they've had a lot of big guys sign.
Yeah. Deshaun Hall's at Louisiana Tech right now.
Yeah. I mean, they got linemen. It's like Lyman U for high school football in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But I had an interview with Dornell Lee, and we talk about the storm a couple of weeks ago and the hurricane and how that affected his family and even him and also his team, because this is an interview I did with his first game coming off the storm with only two practices in 2 weeks. Check this out.
I'm sitting here with Coach Dornell Lee, East Ascension High School. Coach, it's been a crazy week, man.
Very crazy.
And I'm just glad to see you out here with your team. I mean, it's been long, and I know you're excited, but at the same time, you don't know probably what to expect tonight, huh?
We scrimmage, and we exchange film with them on our scrimmages. They have a whole jamboree they play that we have no film on, and of course, you know how the improvement process is. You use the scrimmage to get better for the jam. The jam prepares you for week one. We didn't have a week one, which a lot of people, so it can't make any excuses out here, man. Just come out. Try to, play good, solid, disciplined ball, be physical, play fast. You're playing against a real good team that's talented. And, just come out and make sure we compete, give everything we have every play.
Coach, how you doing, you and your family? I know it's been, like I said, the hurricane.
We're good, man. I got my granddaughters with us. My daughter's working a lot. She works in the hospital. So, imagine having a 14-month-old in the house with no power.
Yeah.
We got a generator, one of my good friends and my parents, Michael Kern, man, bless my family and my mom with a generator. And, it's just been the community's coming together and everybody's helping each other out, man. So my family's doing good. And most of our players, some of them had some damage, but, no loss of life, and that's the main thing.
And a lot of people don't realize these kids haven't had power most of the week.
Yeah. Yes, I had a couple of them sleeping, their families sleeping in cars.
Yeah.
For the air conditioning, we rallied and got some people to help out, and got them a generator. But that's what it's been about, man. It's about life.
Right.
This is just where we come to release that frustration and have fun, get the kids back to some normalcy, come out and represent our community.
Well, I know game mode starting. I don't want to take too much more of your time. You got to get out there and dot the I's, cross the T's if you're ready. Thank you, Coach.
All right, appreciate it. Go.
Hey, man.
Hope you enjoyed the interview with Dornell Lee, head coach of East Ascension High School, the Spartans. And by the way, I want to give a plug out to the student section of East Ascension, Jace. I've been to a lot of football games in Louisiana, and I don't want to say they're number one, but they're close to it. They are the loudest, rowdiest bunch I've seen in a long time, the East Ascension student section. I mean, when I'm telling you they're like the sixth man,
I've been there.
They are incredible.
They bring it.
Now, we're talking about a couple of hundred students that are yelling the whole game and talking to everybody, like talking to the refs, talking to the other team, and they are incredibly loud, and they are definitely defense for East Ascension High School.
Yeah, I see them do a lot of stuff, throwing baby powder or just whatever it takes. I see them do all kinds of stuff. So those fans of the EA, they definitely bring it.
They're up there. If there's a top 10 in the state, they're in the top 10 in the state.
Yep.
So LSU's playing, I keep saying Western Michigan, but it's Central Michigan.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be 35 LSU, kind of similar to a game that they had with McNeese. And this might be like 35-17.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Come on.
Yep.
And just so people know, me and Jace hadn't talked
I didn't talk to Lee about this either, but I'm thinking it's that type of score and
not really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think Central Michigan's gonna bring it to LSU, and to me LSU needs to be really on upset alert because based off how they played, unless they need to improve more, obviously, than what they have been playing. But they're going to have to bring it in order to be impressive. But like we've been mentioning, it doesn't matter what LSU did against McNeese or Central Michigan. As long as they get the win, that's fine.
And improve.
And improve. So, I mean, it's not going to make the fans happy if LSU just just score 60 points.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to make LSU fans happy because they're still reflecting back on the UCLA loss.
Here we have a fan base that's avid. And when LSU plays somebody that's not really good, they expect 50 points. That's not realistic. This is a 5-5 team you're coming off of from 220.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the, 219 team.
Right.
So as a fan, you got to kind of like draw back your expectations a little bit.
It's a lose-lose situation because you can be like, okay, you have scored 60 points on them. That's what y'all supposed to do at LSU.
Right.
And like if you struggle or even lose against them, you'd be like, oh, you're supposed to beat this team. So it's a lose-lose situation either way.
Even if things go LSU's way, they're going to work on stuff so they're not going to score that many points. That's just my opinion. Meaning 35 is really a high number against a better opponent. And it's one of those things where if you play Nussmeier and you play Max, you might not get the amount of points that you want, but you get the reps and the fans.
Mm-hmm.
In the long run, I'm happy as someone watching the team going, okay, Nussmeier got more reps.
Yeah.
And he might screw up some, because he needs to get his reps in to get better. And they might have to play some new guys that haven't played yet, or they might have to play some more young O-linemen. Xavier Hill's starting at tackle from Olive Branch, Mississippi, and he looked good.
Yeah, he did start last week. Looked pretty decent out there.
Daklis is coming back. He's always had nagging injuries. That's a tough guy.
And I heard Hines is coming back, too, for him. So.
Hines needs to improve.
Yeah, he does. He does.
And Ollie Gay sitting out again.
Yep.
And Jay Ward. Those are two big starters not playing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you get some other guys' reps. I'm all eyes on Corey Kiner.
He should be the first running back out there. I would
start him.
Yeah.
He needs as many reps as humanly possible to go into Starksville the following week to play Mississippi State.
Right.
And I'm really upset for the LSU team, but Amani Goodwin not playing is a missed opportunity this week.
That was. He had that long run, a 23-yard run, and then the ankle just after that just kind of nagged him the rest of the way. And hopefully – Trey Bradford.
There's no update on him yet.
Okay.
Unless something comes out after this show.
Mm-hmm.
But they need him to become eligible because he's actually a better version of Trey last year.
Yeah.
And he's been practicing all season with Oklahoma.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, just go back to LSU and Oklahoma and then back to LSU. It's crazy.
People forget that Trey Bradford ran for 9,000 yards at Lancaster High School in Texas, and they were state title contenders every year. And he had 100 touchdowns. They forget that he was, missed the first 8 games of last year.
Yeah.
He struggled catching the ball, but he had played none of the first part of last year. Florida game, he had a touchdown.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss, he actually saved him because they had no backs. So him and Williams.
Williams did a pretty decent job for that being in that spot.
Yeah. So I think Trey Bradford's a guy that could be a miracle for the program if he can get his eligibility and you can have a Bradford, Kiner, Goodwin combo with Ty.
Right, right.
So you need backs. You're about to get into the SEC play. You can't go with one back. You need three at least.
And you're still going to need Ty because what he does also good at is pass protection. He's actually pretty good at pass pro. And when Joe Burrow was out, he played a lot with Joe Burrow because Joe trusted him in pass pro. That's why he was out there a while as a freshman.
Ty's better coming off the bench when the defense is a little tired because of his burst not being as strong.
Yeah, he has to be your Kenny Hilliard, Alfred type of closer.
I think Kenny Hilliard's a great comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Kenny had trouble hitting a hole
quick
enough. The hole would close, but as the game went on, he was power and people didn't want to try and take him on. But he can't open that up for you to begin with. He's not the – Clyde
he's your
Edwards.
Closer. He's got. Yeah. Yeah, he's got to be your closer. Yep.
And you see that at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nick will have a second back, third back that come in when they're tired.
Right.
And you can't stop them. You know, and that LSU's had to face that. When Alabama came to Tiger Stadium last year, you just knew when the second Alabama back came in, you weren't going to be able to tackle him because they were just gassed.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody could really tackle Najee Harris last year anyway.
No, Najee got everybody tired, and then they'd come in with two or three more backs. Mm-hmm. And they could have put. They probably could have put in someone 5'5", 150, and it would have been bad because they were just so tired. But
right.
I don't even want to think about Alabama yet.
A long way to go before you reach that.
Mississippi State's going to be tough. I mean, they're going to be ready for LSU. They've had a good practice game with Tech that they won.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played a good North Carolina State, who they beat very handily. And so they're going to be ready.
And you got to face those cowbells.
Oh, man.
You got to go with the Starks.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they honor the baseball national championship team for the LSU game. I've just had this weird feeling, just all out, right?
They might.
They might have Will Bednar come out there, their starting pitcher, and all those great baseball guys, and just get, boy, they're going to be really loud then.
Yeah, right, pump them up even more.
Yeah. National champions are in 2020, Mississippi State baseball. Bring Will Clark back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can see this happening.
Yeah, it could
We're
happen.
Saving it for LSU.
It could happen.
We're going to save it for that game. We're going to sell out because, you know, that draws everybody if you bring Palmeiro and all them guys back.
Yeah, you got to wake everybody up because it's going to be 11 o'clock kickoff too. So you're going to need that little extra juice for them, 11 o'clock.
Yeah, so LSU should win this game, but I'm going 35-17.
Yeah.
Something. I'm kind of leaning 35-20. I'll just say 35-17.
They'll win by 2 to 3 possessions. They'll win. I think the spread's like 21.5. It's going to be like around there.
You know,
if they play well.
I mean, Central Michigan's a top 45 team.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a nobody. This is a decent D1 program coached by an SEC former head coach from the University of Florida. And it's gonna be he's a good offensive mind. He wasn't a good head coach at the high level, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but look, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, to get the preview issues, South and North, or digital. If you play for a high school in Louisiana and you're a senior and you're a starter, you're probably in the magazine. We can't guarantee you are, but you're probably in it for the preview magazine. It has all 315 plus high schools and colleges, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.